There's an old statement that says this, a picture is worth a thousand words. If anybody knows me, they know that I really do like little bitty children. They're just precious as can be. Here's what I want you to do. I want to ask you the question, do the following pictures speak forth a thousand words? Hold your hat for the next one. What about this last one? Ain't that the cutest little guy? Now guys, I guarantee you, you could take each one of those pictures and somehow you could put together a thousand word story, couldn't you? Just by taking that little face that's located on those little precious children, and it could speak forth wonders, couldn't it? Our Lord Jesus Christ was a master when it came to taking pictures and wrapping them with spiritual truths and spiritual lessons. One of them is found in Matthew 13, verse 33. Here's what our Lord said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and put in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." When you read that very simple verse, those very simple words, does not an image come into your mind? We can imagine a woman as she rises early, maybe even before her children and husband have gotten out of bed. She goes, she dresses herself, she enters into the kitchen, and she takes out everything that she needs for that morning's breakfast. And she's going to make them biscuits or bread of some sort. She prepares the dough and she takes just a pinch of the leaven and she places it into that meal and she kneads it. And she's working diligently and she's working hard and she sets that bread aside. It rises, and then when her children and husband rise, they can smell that fresh baked bread. You see, it's a picture that's planted deep within your minds. And our Lord would then take that picture and He would wrap it with a spiritual truth that individuals could remember. And here He says, the kingdom of heaven is like that leaven. It's a very small little thing, and yet it is going to spread throughout the entirety of the world just as that leaven spreads through the dough. A spiritual lesson around a picture. Recently, someone came by my house and put in an envelope into my mailbox, and I opened it up and in there is a picture. And there were just a few brief words underneath that picture, words of encouragement. And when I saw the picture and I saw those words, I said, you know, I need to just stop and do a lesson or two using pictures to talk about spiritual truths. So that's what we're going to do this morning. Here's the first truth that I want us to remember. I believe. I believe. And here's the picture that I want you to locate deep within your minds. Notice what He says. I believe I can touch the sky. Folks, when you think about this little thing called I believe, here's something that's absolutely truthful. Everything that ever has been done, is being done, or will be done, that is great, that is momentous, that is powerful, that is successful, that reaps wonderful benefits, had someone somewhere deep within the background who believed that that could be accomplished. Now, some might ask the question, what is belief? And belief has a lot of parts to it. Let's mention only four. Number one, it is a positive, not a negative, a positive mindset. A second thing about belief is this. It believes that something is possible. And it may be something that no one else believes is possible. In fact, when this thing is mentioned, an individual might tell them, "Oh, that can't be done." And the individual says, "Oh, yes, it can. I know it can. There's a possibility that it can be done." Notice thirdly, it sees well into the future. Belief does not necessarily involve just at this present time. Folks, belief is able to see beyond today. It's able to see beyond tomorrow, maybe even next week, maybe even 10 or 20 years from now. But belief looks far into the future and it sees the result of what's transpiring right now. And lastly, belief is the ability to go beyond every and all obstacles that are put in an individual's way. Oh yes, there's going to be problems. Yes, there's going to be mountains in front of me. Yes, there's going to be things that discourage me. But guess what? I will not get down. I will not stop. And I will fight my way through all the way to the very end. Folks, those things are involved in belief. When I thought about this thing called belief, two examples came to my mind. One of them is a very physical example, and the other is a spiritual example. The physical example is the Golden Gate Bridge. Folks, the Golden Gate Bridge spans what is known as the Golden Gate Strait. That strait connects two large bodies of water, the Bay of San Francisco and the Pacific Ocean. That strait is a little bit over 1 mile in length. Before 1933, there was no Golden Gate Bridge. And there's a picture of what it looked like without the Golden Gate Bridge. In 1933, construction began. And in 1937, the Golden Gate Bridge was fully, totally completed. Can you imagine some man walked up to that strait, looked across that mile stretch, and he says, "You know what? It would be wonderful to put a bridge right here connecting these two land masses." And I bet you there were individuals that looked at him and said, "Oh no, that can't be done. That's impossible. The weather is harsh. The fog is thick. There's going to be lives lost. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be no way that transpires." There was one man who believed it could be done. It was a man by the name of Joseph Strauss. Folks, what's interesting to me is Joseph Strauss had that belief since 1922. He fought to have a bridge put across that strait since 1922, and it didn't happen until 1933 when construction began. Here's what I really like about Joseph Strauss. He was 5'2" tall. He wasn't a big man. And also, he was a failed college football player at that. And yet, here is the man that stands beside the Golden Gate Bridge. Anybody ever been there? Folks, let me tell you something. One of the nicest structures that you've ever seen. Have you ever walked across it? It's just unbelievable. I walked all the way across it and all the way back. You stand there right in the center of that. And on one side you see all of the Pacific Ocean. You turn just a little bit and you see San Francisco. You look out into the bay and you see a prison located right in the middle. And you're standing right above that water. Why? Because one man believed it could be done. That's why. There's another example, and it's this one. Our Lord stands before His disciples and He says to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16:15. We read those words as if they mean very little. But what if you had been standing there beside Jesus that day? What if you had been one of those apostles that day and you heard those words? "Men, I want you to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entirety of the world, to every creature," question. Would there have been difficulties? I've just listed a few. Folks, the Jews had completely, totally rejected Jesus Christ, had they not? He's not the Son of God. He's not the fulfillment of prophecy. He is not the Messiah whom we've been expecting. They even placed Him upon the cross of Calvary and lied about His resurrection. They did not believe in the Christ. But go teach them about Me, Jesus says. Oh boy, that's going to be fun. Here's another one. The Gentiles had never heard of Jesus. Jesus didn't say, just go to the Jews. He said, go to every creature in the totality of the world. And here were individuals who were filled with idolatry. Here's something else that's amazing. There was no modern transportation and there was no modern communication. Folks, you didn't get aboard a beautiful cruise liner. You did not jump aboard a wonderful jet plane. They did not have cars and trucks in those days. It was going to be a hard, difficult task just to get wherever you needed to go. Notice also, there was no written New Testament at the time. They had absolutely nothing in their hands. They had the promise of the Holy Ghost, did they not? They had what is known as the inspiration of the Spirit within them. And they had the ability to confirm that word with signs following. But they did not have a book to which they could go and say, see, here it is written. And lastly, they were just 12 men, weren't they? Galileans, fishermen, a tax collector that was hated by Jews. Just 12 men to go into all the world. Now here those men are standing there hearing Jesus telling them, go into all the world, go into all the world, convert as many as you can, tell every creature about the good news of Jesus Christ, and every one of these difficulties lay before them. Did they believe? Absolutely. And you want to know why? The reason is because they had, during the ministry of Jesus, learned a vital lesson on one occasion. It's found in Matthew the 17th chapter, beginning at verse 16. A man comes to them, and he wants a demon cast out of his child, and the disciples could not do it. They then take the child, and they bring that child to Jesus, and they tell Jesus, your disciples weren't able to do it. They weren't able to heal him. Jesus rebukes them on that particular occasion and casts out that demon. After the miracle is over, the disciples come to Jesus and they have one question on their minds. Why? Why could you cast the demon out and why could we not cast that demon out? What's the reason? Tell us why we can't do it. And folks, he gave them the reason in Matthew 17, verse 20. Notice what he says. Because of unbelief. But he didn't stop, did he? Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, move hence to yonder place, and it shall be moved. Notice how he concludes, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Folks, all it takes is what? Belief. It can be done. It doesn't matter how hard, it doesn't matter how difficult, it can be done. Folks, one of the things that destroys congregations, one of the things that destroys great things from being done is this very thing. Unbelief. The very moment that you and I say, it can't be done, we have immediately begun to walk in the wrong direction. Here's some of the things we say at Oceanside. We're too old. You ever hear that? We're just becoming an old congregation. So that means you can't do nothing? Sad, isn't it? Notice also, we're too conservative. Now we get charged with that sometime, don't we? Y'all are just way too conservative down there. Notice also, we are too sickly. And boy, do we have a lot of that in this congregation right now, don't we? Every time you turn around, someone else is falling out of line. We're just too sick. Notice also, we're too poor. We don't have doctors, and we don't have lawyers, and we don't have accountants, and we don't have executives here in this little congregation. We're just way too poor. How about this one? We don't have enough youth in the congregation. Folks, every one of those statements are what? Examples of unbelief. All they are excuses as to why it cannot be done. Why don't we say something like this? Yes, we are old, but we can. Yes, we are conservative, but that's the way God desires it. And God has said He will bless us if we stay true to His Word. Yes, we can do it. Even though we have many individuals who are sick, now we only have more opportunities to do what God desires us to do. Folks, listen to me. We have to believe. You see that little guy? I want every one of you to be that little guy. Just lodge that picture in your mind. Second truth. You have to start what? Somewhere. You ready for this picture? Folks, you got to start somewhere, don't you? You go down to the gym and you see a guy like this, don't you? He got everything on. He looks just right. He's ready to work out, isn't he? Took him 2 hours just to get in his gym clothes. Now he's got that ball under his leg. He's ready to do some what? Ready to do some sit-ups. And all he can do is pull his head up. But guess what? You've got to start somewhere. Don't you? Got to. Here's a truth that we need to remember. Anything that has ever been done had a starting point, didn't it? Now, starting points are never fun. Starting points have their difficulties. At the start, number one, it is not perfect, is it? It's not perfect. Number two, the end is difficult to see. That old guy got that ball under his legs. 1 year from now, I'm going to be 165 pounds. I'm going to have six packs for abs. And I'm going to run a marathon. Everybody laughs at him. Huh, you? Yeah. You see, the end for some individuals is hard to see at the first, isn't it? Another difficulty. The simple seems to be so difficult. Have you ever tried to learn a new something? I bet every one of us can remember the time when we tried to ride a bike and learn to ride. I remember the very day we took the training wheels off my bike. I bet we were out there for 3 or 4 hours trying to ride that bike. Now, I just jump on a bike and guess what? Just take off. Have since that day just about. But you see, at the start, it seems to be so difficult, doesn't it? And now you look back on it and you say, what was so hard about that? Number four, at the start, the wheel can easily falter, can it? I remember my very first day of football. Biggest mistake I ever made in my life. I was miserable after about an hour and a half. All we did was PT. All we did was physical training. Get to the end of that session and the coach says, everybody on the line. 10 40-yard sprints. I ain't never run one sprint. I was about to die. We get done, we're riding home on a bike. I look at my friend, he's beside me. I said, are you going back this afternoon? He said, no, me neither. And he said, yes, and I went back. But you want to know what? By the end of August, after all those two-a-days, we'd work out 3 hours a day. And at the end of the day, run 20 or 25 wind sprints. And guess what? At that point, nobody ever said, I'm quitting. At the very start, the wheel falters. I can't do this. I don't know why I'm doing this. This is crazy to be doing this. There's no point in this. There's also a lot of pain, isn't there? At the start, there's a lot of pain, folks. But the reality is that if we don't start, we'll never finish. And you look into the pages of God's Word, and guess what you see? You see individual after individual after individual who have to go on a journey. And every one of them have a destination. And the only way that they're going to get to their destination is to what? Is to begin. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. You've got to go from Ur of Chaldees all the way to Canaan land. He doesn't even know where it is. And it begins with what? The first step. God comes to Moses in a burning bush in the plains of Midian. And he tells him, Moses, I need you to go back to Egypt and deliver my people and take them to the land of Canaan. It's going to be a 40-year journey. Moses, I get sick of a 2-week journey, don't you? 40 years. The Bible says this, and Moses took his wife and his sons and put them upon an ass and returned unto Egypt. And the rod of God was in his hand. You see, he had to make a step back. He had to start, didn't he? There's another individual who went on several journeys. A man by the name of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul would go on 3 missionary journeys and then 1 voyage to Rome, about which we read in the pages of Scripture, don't we? And guess what? In order for him to do what God wanted him to do, he had to start. The Bible says, so they, being called by the Holy Spirit, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence boarded a ship to Cyprus. Seleucia to Cyprus. The very first footsteps of the Apostle Paul, folks. You've got to start. Now, if this congregation is going to be what we want it to be, if this congregation is going to be successful, if it's going to grow, guess what? We've got to start at certain places. So what does that involve? Well, it may involve a simple plan of action. Here's something else. It may involve our contributing to the budget so that we can do what needs to be done. Folks, right now, we are not supporting a missionary anywhere in the world on a regular basis. Or we might get a call and send some money. The elders have put $8,000 into our budget for this year in order to find a missionary work in the United States so that we can support that man $300 to $400 a month and be actively involved in that work by going there and helping with it. But guess what? If we don't give, it will not happen. It can't happen. You see, we got to start somewhere. The elders have said we need $8,000 to do this. Guess what that means? We got to contribute the money. We got to start somewhere, don't we? Notice another one. We may need to find a leader for a particular area of work. Individuals are always talking about, I want this done. I'd like to see that done. This needs to get done. Well, we're not doing this or we're not doing that. Hey, raise your hand and volunteer to lead that thing. So you got to start somewhere. Notice also, Sometimes you start a program and guess what? You don't know all the ins and outs of the program, folks. That's true of the food box program we started, wasn't it? We had no clue how that was going to work, where it was going to end, exactly how we were going to carry it out. We just started it. Let's go buy the food, put it in boxes, take it to people. And guess what? There are some of you who have made some friends out of those individuals that you take food boxes to. That's the way a convert comes eventually, folks. It's got to start somewhere. Even if you can't see all the details. Notice this one. We got to find quality people, faithful people to do the work, don't we? It's got to happen, folks. Keep this picture in mind. We have to start what? Somewhere. Even if it's in the gym, laying on your back, and only getting your head up off the mat. You start somewhere. Third point. Nothing is impossible. Is it possible for a turtle to find himself on a fence post? There he is. Most people say, how in the world did that happen? That's impossible. Turtle can't climb a fence post, but there he is, he's on top of it. You see, oftentimes the things that we think are impossible are what? Are very possible. Every one of us thinks in terms of possibilities, don't we? The very moment we hear an idea, our mind begins to spin, our mind begins to think, and we start asking ourselves, can this be done? Is it feasible? Do we think we can? How do you do this? And we start trying to piece everything together, don't we? And sometimes we come to the conclusion at the end of it all, this is just impossible. And so we just discard the idea, don't we? Folks, we usually do not think in terms of the impossible. I don't know how many of you were reading the slides before the lesson, the announcement slides, and Aaron and I didn't collude on this either. But he had a quote in there by Walt Disney, and Walt Disney said this, "It is fun to do the impossible." Folks, Walt Disney did things that, guess what? That other people thought were impossible to do. And Disney Studios is still doing what some think are impossible. Been a lot of activity in the realm of politics over the last week, hasn't there? And they've been bringing up some of the old speeches from some of the old presidents in times past. And there JFK is, and he tells the world, let's go to the moon. Are you kidding me? Go to the moon? That still almost seems impossible to me. You know that? And yet we've already done it, folks. Should Christians think in terms of the impossible? Absolutely. The Bible says in Luke 1 verse 37, for with God nothing is impossible. He's talking to Mary. He's telling her she's going to have a son. How can this be? Seeing I know no man. It's impossible. No, it isn't. Not with God, it's not. We turn just a few chapters later in Luke 18 verse 27, and we hear this. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. A rich man had just turned his back on the Christ. Jesus said that it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The disciples asked, who then can go to heaven? And that's when Jesus said, with God, nothing is impossible. Maybe with man, but not with God. Folks, you and I as Christians ought to be the very ones that are constantly thinking in terms of the impossible being possible. Are you ready? Here's what I hear sometimes. Oh, we could never reach $500 budget. Lower the budget. Put it back there where we were 2 years ago, then we can hit it. The impossibility. Here's another one. This church will never reach an attendance of 200. Folks, it used to be that big. It used to be bigger than that in times past. How about this one? We can never have a thriving youth group. We can never support two or three missionaries in this congregation. Here's another one. We can never evangelize the beaches. We can never reach the kids that are on our college campuses in this town. There's absolutely no way that you and I can develop a ministry for those individuals who come to Mayo Hospital. It's an impossibility. So that's what I hear. All the negative. All the impossibles. We need to remember a couple of things, folks. You ever heard that saying? Can't, never could. That's what your mama used to tell you. Didn't she? Go run around the block. I can't. Well, can't, never could. And guess what? You did. She may have been chasing you the whole block, but you did. Here's another one we need to remember. Man can't, but what? God can. Those things that I talked about earlier, those seven or eight things on that list, meeting our goal, $3,500, making a congregation of 200, a thriving youth group, etc. Folks, did you know that all we have to do are just a few things in order to accomplish that? And none of them are that difficult. In fact, I could do a whole sermon on these three things. Number one, you and I must live for Jesus. We got to get out of the world and we got to live for Jesus, folks. The world has to quit being important to us and we've got to live for Jesus. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Spiritual things have to be number one in our lives. That's part of our problem. Notice secondly, we have to evangelize. We have to be willing to talk to others about the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, don't we? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Folks, that's our job. That's our duty. That's where those 200 come from. You know that? And lastly, guess what we have to do? We've got to give. Luke 6:38 plainly says this, give. That's the way the text opens, give. And then he makes a promise, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, etc. Folks, God says give. You want to make that $3,500 budget? Guess what? We got to give. We've got to think it's possible. That picture right there is funny, isn't it? But guess what? That turtle's sitting on a fence post. It's possible. For Oceanside to be successful, we have to do these three things, folks. Number one, we got to believe. We got to believe. Notice number two, we got to start somewhere. Doesn't matter what it is, we got to start somewhere, don't we? Do you honestly think that you're going to convert everybody you talk to? But guess what? If you don't talk to anybody, you won't convert any. So just start. Right? Just start. You may not understand everything. You may not know everything. You may have problems, difficulties, obstacles. You may not be able to answer all questions. But guess what? You can start. Hey, let me talk to you about the gospel. I don't want to. Fine, I'll find somebody else who will. Start somewhere. And we've got to, deep in our minds, believe that the impossible is possible. Now, how do I know that we can be successful? Because, folks, we've got God on our side. I want you to listen to this passage of Scripture. It comes from Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now, the God of peace, now watch this, that brought again Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. Stop right there. Why does he mention that? Why does he in this text mention that it is God who brought back Jesus from the dead? Because God is able to do the impossible. There's not a person in here who can raise the dead. Not one. There's not a person on the face of this earth who can raise the dead today. I don't care what the miracle workers say. Can't be done. Let's go to the graveyard and I'll watch you and you won't do it. But God did, didn't he? You see, the impossible is possible with God. Now notice what he says. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, notice what he says, make you perfect in what? Every good work to do his will. But he doesn't stop there. Working in you, folks. God is working in us. That's what makes it possible. That what makes the impossible possible. Working in you, that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. God working in us can do whatever we set our minds to do, folks. I believe that. There's a lot of people, though, today who don't have God on their side, do they? Maybe you're here and you don't. You've never become a Christian. Won't you do it today? Folks, you've got to set aside self and you've got to say, God, what wilt thou have me to do? He says, if you believe I'm the Christ, the Son of God, repent of sins, confess my precious name before men, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Folks, at that time our old man of sin dies, Romans 6 verses 3 and 4, and we arise to walk in newness of life, a new creature in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Maybe you're an erring child of God. For some reason, you've separated yourself, you've distanced yourself from the Almighty God, and you need to come back. Be restored to His fold, confessing those sins, asking God to forgive you. If you need to respond to this invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing.